Good evening, everybody. The atah tetzaveh et bnei Yisrael. And you will order the children of Israel, v'yikhu elecha shemen zayit zach. They will take to you a pure olive oil. How pure it is, katit lama'or. We're talking here on the first drop of the olive. In other words, the second drop is already no good to light a menorah. So the first question is, of course, what is the menorah doing here? What is the lighting of the menorah doing in this place? We were talking last week about the tabernacle, the mishkan, and all the vessels and the things. And now we didn't finish yet the job. We still have the clothes of the kohanim. And lighting the menorah is something you do at the end. You don't do it now. So why do we need to talk about the olive oil that we need to light the menorah in the middle? And they, why do we need only the purest oil, the first drop? Why is it not enough to have the third drop, the fourth drop? What is so important about the menorah that it has to be from the first drop? All the other stuff's not got no problem. Then also, we're talking about all organizing the lights, and we haven't got anything finished yet. Then we talk about Ta'akrev elecha et Aaron achicha. You take Aaron, your brother, to you, taking closer to you, and his sons with him. Mitoch bnei Israel, from the children of Israel, lekan olive. Separate them, but you take them where from? From Bnei Israel.
Okay. From me?
Bnei Israel.
Children of Israel. Bnei Israel. Okay. So first of all, we have to understand and realize that the idea here, as we said, is to building really a mishkan in ourselves. V'asuri mikdash v'shachanti betochah. We talked about it. So the Torah is telling us a very clear thing, and it's exactly the right order. We talked about the Mishkan, where we put the Torah. Now we're going to talk about those who are going to do the job in the Mishkan, which are the Kohanim. But before we talk about the Kohanim, we have to make sure that you realize that in order to do the job as a Kohen, you need to come from the first oil, or the first pure drop of oil. Because if your source, which is the menorah, which is the light of the Torah, is a little mixed with dirt, no good. You cannot do the job. It has to be pure. And talking to us, when you want to build a Mishkan for God, it has to come from 100% pure light, pure oil, pure Torah. No dirt in. For example, yesterday morning, I think, a guy approached me after davening, and he is asking me for advice. And he's asked me, you see, I am becoming religious, I'm doing tshuva, and my wife not. And she lets me do what I want, except she wants me to drive on Shabbos. And she's laughing about I'm not opening the fridge on Shabbos because of the light. And I don't know what to do. I asked a few rabbis. Some of them told me, Shabbos? It's Shabbos. If your wife tells you to drive on Shabbos, you're not allowed to. That's not the way to do it. And others, I asked them, they told me, you know, in order to keep Shalom Bayit, you should drive on Shabbos. But God knows that if your wife wouldn't pressure you to drive on Shabbos, you wouldn't drive. So the main thing is the intention.
This is what the reform is, right?
No, that's the rabbi he asked. He asked a few rabbis.
Yeah, but the answer.
So we had two approaches. I says, what is your opinion? I says, you see, I'm not a rabbi and I'm not a posek halachot, so I cannot. I know, I insist, I know you are Talmud Chacham, and I don't know if I'm Talmud Chacham or not. I want your opinion. I says, if you're asking me my opinion, I'll tell you what I think. You see, in our parsha, we talk about a pure oil. So the source of the rabbi has to come from pure oil. Now, if we're talking about pure oil, and you love your wife, and your wife loves you, so she must understand what is important, what is not important. So you have to find a way to explain to her that you are not allowed to drive on Shabbos. It's impossible. If you want to keep Shabbos, you cannot drive on Shabbos. Even if you can make compromise with your wife, but you cannot make compromise with Shabbos. Doesn't work this way. Now, if you're on your way, so of course, okay, in the beginning you don't keep Shabbos properly, and then you say, but you have to understand and realize that you cannot just decide, okay, I'm driving on Shabbos because my wife wants me to drive on Shabbos. Doesn't work this way. And if your wife loves you, and you love her, your wife, I'm sure that if you find the right way to explain to her through, I suggested to him, like we have the, what's the name of the rabbi? Used to be the rabbi of England, the chief Sachs, rabbi. Ralph Sachs. Jonathan Sachs. He talks very nicely. He's got a lot of drushos on the internet. And I'm sure you can find something on Shabbos that your wife will like to hear him talking, because he talks very nicely and talks to everybody. It's not like those rabbis who talk above you. He sometimes maybe he does, but a lot of times he talks to you in your own language. And if your wife really loves you, she will understand.
But that she'll say, if you really love me, you'll understand me.
So that's the why. That's why I asked him the first question. Does your wife believe in God? He says, if your wife doesn't believe in God, there is nothing to talk about. Now, if your wife believes in God, in other words, you have to make sense to her why you're not allowed to drive on Shabbos. Because you see, when you come to somebody and tell him, he doesn't know anything about being religious. He knows there is a God, he believes in God, it's no problem. But he was raised up in a different way. And you tell him, I'm not allowed to press the button in order to turn the light on. He says, well, you're stupid or something? The Torah writes, you're not allowed to make fire. That's not fire. Now, you don't start explaining this guy, there are Pinkus Zatzal talks about, you don't start explaining this guy that there are a circle and you're closing a circle and then it's like fire. The first question you ask him, do you believe in God? Okay, now if you believe in God, let's go to the next stage. Do you believe in the Torah? The Torah was given from God. Okay, if you believe in God and Torah was given from God, so the Torah is not allowing us to turn the light on Shabbos. It says, oh, wow, how? It says, let's now, you want to come to we have to start learning. And then when we learn, we come to this idea. So in other words, we must understand that when we talk with somebody who wasn't educated like us, his ideas are different from ours. So you start to explain to him things that, for him, they're stupid. You don't understand what you're talking about.
But why did he want to change? Why did he do to shuk? You know, why does he want to change to be frum? What started it?
He believes in God. He believes in God, and he one day decided he wants to become religious.
Every Jew has the neshama, the kintalili. Sometimes,
unbelievable.
He's sleeping. Something.
But his level is something that it's very hard to reach his level. You know, this guy lives in this small room.
He lives in a little nothing apartment.
And he thinks that he lives in a palace.
Who?
And he doesn't care.
Uri
Zohar. He did tshuva years ago. He was an entertainment.
Very wild.
He was a celebrity. He was very clever. And he was very successful.
And his wife did it with him? He divorced her? His wife did it with him? At first she didn't want anything to do with it. And then one night she was reading the Rambam. He had the book laying around the house, and there was the Rambam and one other book, and she was reading it, and he's thinking to himself. And then she came there, she said to him, "Okay, I'll try." And what did you see in the Rambam? She said, "I didn't understand a word," she said, "but I figured he's supposed to be so brilliant that, you know, he must know something."
And it's very interesting, like, he was a very good friend. He didn't leave any of his old friends.
Arik Einstein.
His wife did tshuva.
Right.
And the children are married together.
The children married each other. Arik Einstein's grandchildren. The grandchildren came. These lovely boys, yeshiva boys. And they're Arik Einstein's...
from one side, from Arik Einstein.
Was very nice.
What,
guy.
Arik
Einstein is chiloni.
He died a few years ago.
He was
chiloni. No, no.
He was a
good Jew. Let's put it this way.
Off the road, you know, they thought he went crazy or resigned. They just waited for him to come back. And one day he came back to Tel Aviv, and he said he was there for 15 minutes. He made a big party, and he said, "All of a sudden, I realized I can't stay here. I have to go back to Jerusalem."
These days, I read this guy, Gidon Shar.
Actors came.
Gidon Shar, he's
a
politician, you know.
He
made a declaration saying, "I keep Shabbos. I'm not religious, but I keep Shabbos."
Okay. So now let's come back to our. Let's go back to our issue. So, in other words,
what?
Each one of us got this big fight, because the idea here, ner tamid, la'alot ner tamid. The light of the menorah should be lit all times. So one of the questions being asked, what are we talking about here? The menorah has got 7 candles, and it should be in plural and not in singular. But here is written, la'alot ner, one candle. So what are we talking about here? So the take, we're talking about the candle that was lit, and by the way, it was for many years a miracle that it didn't turn off.
Didn't extinguish.
It was going on and on and on, and they used to light the other candles from this candle. Now, what is the idea? The idea is, as we say, the candle, the menorah, is the light of the Torah. The light of the Torah is the light of us. It's the light of the Jewish
nation.
It's the light of the neshama. And as long as we are here, we have to keep this light burning on and on forever. Now, how do we do this? So first of all, it has to come from pure oil. Because if it doesn't come from pure oil, so you start to round angles, and what happens is, that's what we have the reform movement, for example. Mm. They do whatever they want to. Mm. And eventually what happened is, I told you before, a few years ago, they wanted to do a 100 years anniversary of the Temple Emmanuel in New York.
So
they were looking for the third generation to come. Third generation of those who established the shul. There was not even one. They were all goyim. Just to show you, the minute you start to compromise, that's what's going to happen. So in other words, we should keep a pure oil. That's why I told him, and a rabbi that tells you that you're allowed to mechallel Shabbos. And Shabbos is the sign of a Jew. There are a lot of people that are not very religious, but they don't drive on Shabbos. They try to keep Shabbos. Maybe you do here and there a few things.
Omer Adam, who was not Shabbat, he wouldn't appear in the Univision because they would make him rehearse on Shabbat. And he's not even a Shomer Shabbat, but he felt that it was wrong for an Israeli. Yeah.
In other words, I told him, my personal opinion is, if a rabbi tells you that you're allowed to mechallel Shabbos,
it's strange.
You have to check, where are his sources? Where does it come from?
That's terrible.
This is what I say, reform.
It's not, unfortunately, it's not reform.
Really?
No, it's not.
You know who was?
I don't know who it was, but I'm sure that this guy didn't ask a reform rabbi. And I also know, let's say, a section of the Orthodox movement, that you, whatever you want to call it, are very pluralistic.
Yes.
And they're doing things that are not exactly halachically correct.
That's right.
But they are rabbis.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the problem. When the Torah is telling us, Ner Tamid, it can be only from the first drop. Why only at the first drop?
Purity.
You know how many olives you need to have a first drop? In order to have this oil for the menorah? But that's the only way that the light is going to shine forever.
It's got to be purest.
Yeah. Only the purest oil. So this is exactly the idea of the Ner HaTamid. And we all have our fights. Yes, yes. In order to, through generation, we had fights from all kinds of fights. Physical fights, spiritual fights. The wind wants to blow out the candle. But we are still here. And the only reason we're here is we have those rabbis, our sages, that come from a pure oil. Because all the others, people think that the first reforms, they were not religious. It's not true. They were all religious.
They started off religious.
But they started off religious. But they decided that there is a new way.
It's a reformation.
By the way, Jesus, yes, he also was a religious Jew.
Mm-hmm.
And look where it where it got him. So now we start to understand how important this thing is.
From the beginning.
So now you can bring the Quran in. If you realize that in order to serve God, it has to come from pure oil, now bring Aaron. Let's do it. And now what is from the children of Israel? What is mitoch bnei Israel? Because a leader cannot be somebody who is not connected to the people. Mm-hmm. He has to come from the people. Because otherwise, he's not going to connect. There is a midrash that talks about two rabbis going in the street. And one rabbi tells the other, let's go near a whorehouse and we will not be tempted. Mm-hmm. So his friend telling him, no, I've got a better idea. Let's go near an idol worshiper place and we will not be tempted. Now, what is this argument? Well, they are stupid or something? Well, they try to put themselves in a position and if you want to go, you won't stand in the temptation, maybe you will be tempted and to do something. Why do you put yourself in a position like this? And by the way, you're not allowed, don't try even to put yourself in a position that you're afraid that something is going to happen. This is stupid.
Yeah.
So what is the idea here? The idea is very simple. Those two rabbis had to bring a drasha before Yom Kippur. Now they will talk to the congregation and tell them, you have to be pure, you have to do this. And what is the congregation going to say?
It says,
look at them. They sit there in the high seat. They go from shul to house, to their house, back to shul. They don't even have any connection with the street. They tell us how to behave in the street. Let's see them doing what we do. Working outside, mingle with the goyim, mingle, going near Avodah Zarah, going near places like this and other. We are there. And it's not easy to stand all through all those temptations in the street. So who is this guy telling us? But if this guy went through it, that's why, by the way, who are the best rabbi to teach people that want to do tshuva? Those who teach it by themselves. That's true. Because if somebody wants to help you, he needs to know what are you. As we said in the beginning, if there is no connection, if you're talking with somebody that doesn't even know what is the idea of Shabbos about not turning this thing, like, what am I doing? I'm just pressing a button. Not allowed to do on Shabbos. This is stupid. So you have to understand and realize you have to talk with him in his own language. You have to understand where he comes from. Then you can talk with him. So Aaron has to come from the people, and he is from the people. And by the way, this brings us back. What's wrong with Moshe Rabbeinu?
Were the Jews, sons following him?
Moshe Rabbeinu is a guy that came from outside. He was not with Am Yisrael in the slavery. He came from outside.
But the palace.
And he was raised up in a palace. And he told God, it was a whole argument for a whole week. Yeah. Says, send it with my brother. He's there. He is one of the people. You see here? Yeah. Now, it's very interesting. In our parsha, the name of Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned.
Mm.
This is the only parsha from the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was born till the end of Chamisha Chumshei Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned. Why in our parsha?
Because
in our parsha is also being punished, because the argument he argued with God about he didn't want to do the job, give it to Aaron. He says, you want me to give it to Aaron? No problem. You were supposed to be the king and the Kohen. Now, Aaron is going to be the Kohen. So in our parsha is like punished for the argument, but that's not the only thing. Our parsha also falls every time at the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was born. Was what, 2 days ago? Zayin Be'Adar. Okay? So it's to show the Goyim that, for example, when we're talking about the Christians and even the Muslims, everything is around the prophet. Here the prophet did this, here the prophet did this, that's the birthday of the prophet. Everything is around. In our religion, everything is around God. Nothing around the prophet, because the prophet is just a vessel, is one of us. In other words, in the parsha that Moshe Rabbeinu was born, his name is not even mentioned, to tell everybody that we don't make an idol from our prophet. Our prophet is just another guy. He is not even mentioned in the week that is it's birthday.
So then, really, it should be learned with all of these people that surround a Rebbe. And he becomes
It's not a simple issue. It's what you're saying is quite. It's a problem. It is a problem.
Of course, it's a problem.
That, by the way, unfortunately, that's what happened with Chabad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The rabbi didn't die. Not all of them.
But
I'm saying, I'm talking about the half. They're doing an unbelievable job, but those people who think that the rabbi is alive, I'm sorry to tell you, this is Avodat Elilim.
You know right. How to do this.
This is Avodat. That's exactly what we're talking about.
That's it. Oh.
That's exactly what we're talking about. So we have to understand and put things in the right proportion. Now, when we understand and realize that the person that we need to lead us has to come from the people, and let's go back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu is being punished in our parsha, but Moshe Rabbeinu also have to understand Moshe Rabbeinu is exactly the guy that till now he was good for Am Yisrael, but from now on it's not enough. What do I mean? It's not enough to do the daily job. You need somebody from the people. He is too high. You cannot relate to Moshe Rabbeinu.
He
is too high.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Aaron comes to the picture now.
Overqualified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But he is the one who gave the Torah. You know, this guy is an unbelievable guy, but he is a big neshama. He is not a guy that we can relate on the daily basis.
Yeah.
In other words, if I've been a sacrifice to God, I would like to talk with somebody that I cannot talk with Moshe Rabbeinu. He's too high.
That's why Yitro gave him the advice.
So, in other words, we see here another interesting lesson. That sometimes a leader can be overqualified.
Overqualified or not in touch with the...
We have to be very careful what we say, yes? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was connected to the people. He was the best leader Am Yisrael had ever.
Yeah.
He was preparing. That's why he's being punished. Why is he being punished in our parsha also? Why is he punished? Because he said, we'll see it next week.
Himself.
No. When Am Yisrael did the sin with the golden calf, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to mark out the whole nation. And I'm going to build a new nation from you. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? If you mark them out, you mark me out. And they say, Klala tzadik afilu al tnai mitkayemet. In other words, even if a tzadik says something And if something is going to, it gives an, how do you say, a
condition.
A condition. Even if condition doesn't happen, still, because he said it, something has to happen. So what did God do? He says, okay, I'm going to mark you out from one parsha. I'm not going to mark you out completely. One parsha I'm going to mark out. Why this parsha? Because in our, as I said, those reasons, but there is another reason. Because in our parsha, it's so many times God is approaching Moshe Rabbeinu and his name is not mentioned. So it's very clear
that he is
that he's not mentioned.
He wants him out.
Yes, it's very clear.
He wasn't given the skus to live in Israel.
Yeah, but that's not connected to this. That's something else. The thing is that we have that here we learn that a leader in Am Yisrael, from one side, he is a human being like everybody. From the other side, sometimes if you're too high, you need help with somebody that is going to connect to the people. In our days, you need the leaders to be connected to the people. You cannot be somebody from outside. It has to be mitoch bnei Yisrael. That's what's written here very clearly. Now, why is it written ve'atat tetzave? Because it can be very, very simple to say tzave. And you will order. And you will do. Do. Order. Why do we need the you? Why do we need ve'ata and you? We don't need a word. And the Torah is not just putting words if you not don't need them. It is very clear to say, instead of ve'ata tetzave, tzav et bnei Yisrael. And by the way, it's written. Also this phrase is written. So why is the Parsha saying ve'ata? Because let's not forget for a minute that the whole idea is for us to build the Mishkan. So we can say God is talking to Moshe Rabbeinu, God is talking to this, he's not talking to us. So the Torah says, ve'ata, ve'ata, and you, and you, and you. I'm talking to all of you. I'm not talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm talking to all of you. This is ve'ata. In other words, all the lessons we learn in our parsha, God is talking directly to us. The pure oil, the rabbi we should listen to, the rabbis we shouldn't listen to. We can choose and we can know. We have our seichel, we have our neshama. And if we do things in the right way, and if we understand that the source of the Torah has to come from a pure oil, from a pure source, because that's the only way we can keep this light going on and on and on forever, tamid. It's the only way. There is no other way. There is a lot to talk about our parsha, the meaning of clothes. Why do we talk so much about clothes? Mm. It's also very interesting. But
Aaron also was a man that was always making peace.
Exactly, that was he said. Ohev shalom ve'rodef shalom. In other words, he was connected to the people. We have to be very careful when we talk about Moshe Rabbeinu. Don't think for a minute that he was not a good leader.
No.
Now, you have to understand. This is a lesson for us to understand and the idea behind having a good leader. What it's all about. He was, let's say, even when we're talking about a good leader, there is nobody who can compete with him in anything. That's why, for example, as we talk, you remember talking about Judah. Why was Judah chosen to be the king and not Yosef? Joseph was the tzaddik that never sinned. And Judah sinned. But we said, that's exactly the point. Because you can relate to somebody. You can relate to somebody who is a human being. He does mistakes. He tries to correct them. You cannot relate to somebody who doesn't do any mistakes. This is a saint. This is an angel.
It's not easy to be a saint.
Well, we should be relating very much.
I have a question. Yes. You didn't touch about this, but they describe almost most of the parsha is describing the
clothes
of the, yes, the clothes of the, yes, Kohanim and the Kohen, yeah, yeah, Gadol, and them, yeah, beautiful, yeah, and this and this. And suddenly, in the end, then they say, and you hate to take the blood of this korban mixed with oil and spread in the clothes. So I think,
to give the dry cleaners business.
Yeah, but listen, oil and blood is very difficult to take off. So
you don't take off.
So how? What is the meaning? What the?
Put on the ear and the tongue.
No, in the cloth. This is written. Yeah, in the end of the parsha said in the cloth.
You see, first of all, I don't remember exactly how it goes, but you know that a lot of the clothes of the Kohanim, they were
changeable.
Not changeable. They used to wear it once, and then they took new ones.
Disposable.
No, but the Kohen Gadol of Uz said that he has to change
Yom Kippur, he had to change seven times.
I think
yeah,
it's here.
And then there was a beautiful talk on the Kohen's clothes. Don't you remember? Even the utensils that he used.
Not yet.
Which someone had to come to take them. What was that whole thing?
Oh, no.
What?
I think he's here. Oh, here say in Parsha in 29 say that the clothes of Aaron HaKodesh have to be keep for the Kohen HaGadol of the generations. So, but still,
they do have this experience.
And later this, you have to keep the for the Kohen HaGadol.